My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello and welcome to an EV News Daily special. Before I hit play on what I recorded a little bit earlier, I was just reflecting on 271 previous podcasts and how it's allowed me to connect with so many incredible names from the world of electric cars to bring you these interviews, and just how grateful I am that I have the opportunity to do that. And thank you to everybody who supports on Patreon that allows me to do this, because it really is having the best time. So I'm going to hit play in a moment, and I must admit, I've spent a good few hours editing this interview, and I think I understand about 5% of what these guys talk about. Really lucky on the podcast today to have two super brains from the future of EV charging, Paul Glennie. Now, Paul's the US CEO of Hubject, and he's been an early participant in the e-mobility industry since the launch of the Nissan Leaf and the BMW Active E, the EVgo team were former colleagues of his, AeroVironment, Siemens, Faraday Future, some of the major players in the automotive, energy and tech sectors where he's gained experience. And Hubject, well, if you don't know who they are a globally recognised leader in EV interoperability. And they officially launched its US operations from the new US headquarters in California recently. Founded back in 2012, they enable seamless charging for EV customers through an open and neutral business-to-business platform called Hubject, and it was quickly embraced in Europe, not so much here in the UK yet, and it's bringing their solutions to the US now. I'd also talk to Aaron Fisher on today's podcast as well, and he is the founder of Recharge, and I'm talking to these guys together because Recharge and Hubject are going to be working together. Now, Aaron has almost a decade of experience in innovation, policy, creative work through Twitter and Square and the White House during the Obama administration, startups and management consulting. Now, he's the founder of Recharge, where they're building a business-to-business platform that allows any electric car maker to deploy cars that are fully enabled for transactions, and so you never have to get money out of your wallet. Whenever a vehicle interacts with parking, charging, fast food, toll roads, you can auto pay just by being inside your car. Like I say, spent a long time listening to this, and I think I understand some of it now. These are real two big thinkers from the world of electric cars, and it was a real honour to have them, both of them at the same time, on the podcast. At the end of the podcast, I want to say thank you to all of our Patreon supporters at $10 or above. So if that's you, then listen to the end. And we thank you as always. And here we go. I hope you enjoy this Saturday special. We're joined today by Paul Glennie, the CEO of Hubject, and Aaron Fisher. Aaron, let's start with you. Thank you very much for joining the podcast. Tell me about, so you are CEO of Recharge, is that correct?
Thanks for having me, first of all. And yes, we Recharge about a year old, and we are in the mission of transforming the charging and transaction experience for cars.
You have partnered with Paul at Hubject because working together put different pieces of the puzzle together. So Paul, if I can come to you, we have listeners all over the world, and Hubject, tell us about Hubject, the kind of, you know, the elevator pitch so people understand if they haven't heard about you, because they're listening somewhere that that you don't, not in one of your markets, what you do.
Well, thank you, Martin, for having me, first of all. Hubject Inc. was founded to be a need for customer-friendly charging in Europe back in 2012. We are founded by energy, technology, and automotive companies who recognize that the fragmentation in EV charging all across Europe was a major pain point for EV drivers and ultimately EV adoption. So our whole mission is for seamless EV charging for everyone, everywhere. Today, we're the global leader in EV charging interoperability. That means we work across all of the charging networks. So through our platform, you know, we allow seamless EV charging that makes it easy to find, access, and pay for charging with one account, one API, or one membership card. So we call this innovative charging network InterCharge, and it's pretty common across Europe although we don't have a large footprint in the UK at this time. Today, we interconnect over 100,000 charging ports across the world in 26 countries and on four continents.
Aaron, your company fits into this by kind of enabling some of the really clever stuff to sit on top of that. Is that like the idiot's version? Because I'm just an idiot on a podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah. So since HubSpot has these connections to charging networks all across Europe and increasingly in the United States, the way Recharge comes in is we saw a way to make that experience even better. And the way we're doing that is by allowing HubSpot chargers to connect directly into vehicles. An auto manufacturer is able to come to us and use our platform, which connects to HubSpot among others, to allow their users that buy their cars to easily locate, navigate to, and pay instantly when they arrive at a charging station, all through the dashboard of a car, instead of having to download even one app on your phone and set up payment profiles or have different apps to find different chargers. It can all happen kind of like the Tesla experience, but across auto manufacturers.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about plug and charge. That is a plug and then an N and then a charge, because it's something that I've heard about, but I don't understand enough about. So Paul, can you fill me in a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so HubSpot is leading the way with what we call plug and charge. This is based on a new international standard called ISO 15118. And what we are doing is we are trying to make this market ready for auto OEMs, utilities, and technology companies, where the EV driver can simply just plug in. The charging station recognizes who the driver is, what the car is, that it has an account on file, and then will actually not only allow access to that charger, but also allow them to pay for the charger. So again, a seamless experience.
So Aaron, in terms of how you interact with all of that, how does that work for Recharge?
Plug and charge is something that is coming down the line. It's one of those things that's been kind of promised a really long time. And so we're seeing that it is taking longer than anyone would hope. And so we at Recharge are building with that in mind. And so we're trying to essentially get there and build the experience around it before it fully exists, because it may take several months or years in order to get that at every charging company in North America. We are able to do the exact same thing, but without charging companies modifying their stations. And if plug and charge does come, it will create an even better, more seamless experience than what we're able to build in the future together.
So this is, Aaron, this is like the dream that every EV owner talks about, who's not a non-Tesla owner, that you don't even have to worry about paying for a bit. Everything just kind of happens somewhere in the background. So tell us a little bit more about how that happens. I mean, is it a kind of a unique ID that you have? How does that work?
Our platform exists as a series of APIs, application program interfaces that automakers can integrate directly into their vehicles. And it runs in the background of cars. So the platform recognizes based on, you know, we know where chargers are that are on the HubSpot network. We know when you as an end user are going to approach a charger. And so we're able to prompt you to have this kind of 1-2-click max interaction when you arrive or when you get close in order to enable charging. Our concept is entirely based around the fact that cars should be able to perform transactions, charging, and then in the future we're working on parking and tolls, no matter if there's a human behind the wheel or it's semi-autonomous pulling up to a charger or it's fully autonomous. It should be able to do this on its own. So a little bit beyond the Tesla vision, actually.
Yeah, no, completely. This guy, my mind is kind of slightly blown about this. So even things like tolls, things like parking, there is technology existing that you're working on that means I never have to get any change out of my pocket, never have to have any kind of tag in my windscreen. The car can just do it all. And then what, do I get like a bill at the end of the month? Or how does that all work?
Let's say you buy an automaker A car. You're likely, since it's electric, to have a corresponding app on your phone where you can, you know, honk the horn and see the battery life and all that fun stuff. There's also going to be a payment tab. So when you set up your car, it'll be like you set up your phone, kind of like an unboxing. And so you'll set up either Apple Pay or Google Pay or log into your bank account. And so then whenever your car with your driver profile automatically goes to these types of infrastructure, it'll automatically take care of everything you need.
Now, Paul, you join up lots of people. So is HubSpot more about connecting people together, or are you equally software and technology driven?
Yeah. So we're completely a software platform. We're a middleware platform that sits in between the charging port operators, so these network operators, and also these e-mobility service providers like Recharge. And so on our platform today, we have over 350 partners connected in this big ecosystem. And what we try to do is we try to democratize the entire EV ecosystem so everyone has equal access to all of the charge port operators. And the whole thing that we want to do here is really enhance the customer experience. So that's really our focus. They can be, you know, the EV driver, you know, has a very easy experience where they can find, locate, access, pay for EV charging, and Recharge really enables the next level of doing that.
Here in Europe, it really is a case of, even though it's in Europe and it is one trading zone in the EU, for instance, it really is, you're going from country to country. And so at the moment, what's the story that EV drivers are telling you in your market research? Does that put people off doing those long distance drives, or are people trying it and just kind of suffering through the clunkiness at the moment?
Oh, I think there's a lot of suffering right now in the U.S. market. We have several different EV charging networks. Every state is looking into investing monies into different corridors, different metropolitan areas. That sets up new charging network players in these service territories. These are not yet connected. So you end up driving with half a dozen RFID cards. Sometimes you don't have a membership. You end up on the phone making phone calls. Today, it's a little bit tough on the EV driver, but you know, we're still in the early adopter phase. And I think that the EV driver is pretty resilient and that they are definitely willing to put up with this hassle. But if we want to make it into the mainstream market where EV adoption is ubiquitous, we really have to fix these things, and we have to fix it fast.
Aaron, you talk about connectivity. Does that rely on all the cars being connected, though? Because one of the bugbears that a lot of EV drivers have is they hear about Tesla and their cars update themselves overnight because they're connected cars, and then a lot of EVs are the kind of Generation 1 EVs aren't fully connected up. You've got to take them back to the dealer to have things done to them and software upgrade. How do you get around that connectivity problem?
Actually, you know, the last few years, you know, you had the first generation, and now you have this kind of generation and a half, and now you're in kind of the second generation of electric vehicles. Any EV produced by a major manufacturer in the last handful of years is connected to the internet. The original cars, you know, the 2012, 2013, 2014, those require some dealer, you know, dealer maintenance in order to receive updates, but the last few years and going forward, we're seeing the ability to push software updates, which is one of our benefits, is we are an entirely a software platform. And so we don't require any special hardware in the vehicle. So as far as an automaker pushing out to their existing fleet, it's relatively easy considering there are a little over 1 million electric cars on the road in the United States. And so the current user base is kind of beta. And so you have the Chevy Bolt, the new i3, of course, the Teslas are this next generation. And they are already connected and ready for something like this.
So, Paul, is it up to you and Hubject to do the relationship side of it in terms of calling? It's like you pick up the phone and go, hello, Audi, can we please? Is that part of what Hubject does in terms of reaching out and building relationships with all the different automakers?
We have relationships with a lot of automakers today. One thing I didn't mention is that we're very much a sought-after consultant because of our experience in e-mobility. And so we actually consult to a lot of automakers from Shanghai to California to Germany. So we already have those relationships, and we're always attempting to deepen those relationships. Part of what we do is that we connect partners. That's what our Hubject platform does, and that's part of the magic about the whole ecosystem that we offer.
Just personally, you yourself, earlier this week when I knew I was talking to you, I thought I'd do some professional stalking online, so fully checked out LinkedIn. And you yourself on your CV, Siemens, EVgo, Faraday Future, you have had obviously a lot of experience in many different areas of e-mobility. In terms of where we've come from and where we're going, how are you feeling at the moment about the state of the EV market?
We're having a lot of growth in the U.S. market right now. I think year to date, over last year, we're up about 60%. I think most of that is the Model 3. So it's very, you know, it's very exciting time for us to be in this e-mobility market.
Knowing what's coming on the roadmap in the next couple of years, you must be pretty optimistic about the kind of cars that are just a couple of years away, because we know they're coming soon.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Especially we see the Jaguar I-Pace hitting the market in the U.S. soon, the Audi e-tron. I think we're going to have a lot more choices. My wife and I are personally on our fourth EV. We are about to go to EV number 5 in about a month. So I think that it's fantastic that there are more choices out there. I really believe that there's a solution, a mobility solution for every EV driver coming shortly.
So when did you get your first EV then?
We had a BMW Active E. It was a project car. They had about 600 in the United States. And when I was with AeroVironment, we helped launch the Active E in the U.S. market with the dealers and home installations. So, I'm going to say it's been about 8 or 9 years.
And are you full EV now, or are you still hybrid?
We have both. We have what we call a Chevy Volt in the United States. It's 55 miles of all EV range. I'm averaging 105 miles per gallon. So sorry for the European listeners that will have to translate that. It's quite good. And then we also have a Chevy Bolt, and that vehicle gets about 240 miles per charge. So we're really excited about our options and solutions that we have currently.
I mean, we would love the Bolt in or the Ampera E as it is in Europe, but politics as they are, I think it sort of fell through the cracks in terms of selling that here in Europe. But it's a gorgeous car, and we kind of forget that it exists because we just can't get our hands on the Bolt. So, Aaron, everything that we've heard on the podcast today, it sounds like the magic wand, the perfect solution that all EV drivers would love. How far away is it?
So when it comes to getting into cars, of course, you have to take into consideration security and privacy and all these things. And it does take some time. Recharge, along with Hubject, has laid some excellent groundwork. I don't want to give a prediction on date, but I'm hoping that we start to see something next year as far as this perfect unified experience across automakers.
Yeah, I saw that they're just starting to do that. So I think with the Jaguar I-Pace, if they haven't already, they announced some sort of scheme to try and make it easier for drivers, trying to connect a few. And I think the others, the ones that you can't quite buy yet, so the Mercedes EQC and the Audi e-tron, I think they've all talked about trying to make it easier, but nothing's quite there yet. So it's good news that that's on the way. And just for a bit of fun, as we always do, trying to stare into our crystal ball. So we won't hold you to these, but as the EV market opens up for the next 3 to 5 years, Aaron, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little prediction of what you think the future would hold, not specifics and who's going to be number one and all that kind of stuff, but where do you, as you gaze ahead, where do you see us going?
I would say that I think in order for this type of transition to occur, it can't just be a swap in fuel sources. It has to be behavior change. And I think that behavior change is going to lead to a lot of changes in the way that people drive cars. If you never have to stop to get gas and your car is always charged, it's going to lead to maybe people living further, maybe people working in the car. There's going to be a lot of changes that go along with this transition. And so I think that being a part of it means that this transition will happen a lot faster than a lot of people view as kind of moderate growth, because it is about more than just a fuel source change. It's about a transition in behavior.
Right, Paul, let's say the same for you then, Paul. So looking into your kind of crystal ball, where would you like e-mobility to be in the next kind of 3 to 5 years if you could look into the future?
Well, I think it's a very exciting time right now. There's a lot of change happening, a lot of new vehicles coming out, bigger batteries. I think that as we see more and more cars come out with a plug, I think we're probably at a good point right now as far as 250 to 300 miles of range. I mean, once you get a little bit larger than that, all of a sudden you're carrying a lot of weight that you don't necessarily need. I think the other part that I'd like to see in the future is just faster charging times. And I know that's coming with 350 kilowatt charging, but now the battery systems have to be modified over to a higher voltage system. So I think faster charging, lower cost batteries, lots of choices are really going to mean for a lot of EV adoption in the future, in the very near future.
I think we've learned a lot today, and it's been fascinating to have you both on the podcast. If people want to find out a little bit more about Hubject, that's the company that will work across industry and businesses to connect all the things like the infrastructure, the services, the different e-mobility providers. That's what Hubject do. And if you want to check out Recharge, that's the team that is processing and handling all those things like the transactions and that little layer on top to make it means you never got to get your wallet out of your pocket and start working out which card to put in. Paul Glenny, CEO of Hubject, and Aaron Fisher, CEO and founder of Recharge. Thank you both very much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you very much. And Aaron, welcome aboard.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. And I'm really excited to work with Hubject building this connected future.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to the 103 patrons of the podcast whose generosity means that I get to make the show and get to do things like interview people like that. Wow, such an honour to have them on the podcast this week. We do aim to inform and entertain, hopefully have a bit of a laugh as we do and learn a little bit. I learn a lot, certainly, from these interviews, and hopefully you do as well. If you'd like to hear more of them, please do consider checking out the Patreon page at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. It really does enable me to have the time to make more of these shows. Thank you very much to my premium partner of the podcast, Phil Roberts. Phil from Electric Future. I urge you to check out Phil on Twitter, always sharing something insightful. Hello to Cesar Trujillo, David Allen, and Sasha Pallenberg. Again, people that I follow on Twitter and educate me as much as they follow what I'm talking about. They're partners of the show. And thank you very much to all of our executive producers, Ashley Hill, Arild Gier Skalsvin, Bjard Fuchstack, Brian Weatherall, Chris Benson, Chris Hopkins, Darren Bird, David Partington, David Prescott, Damian Davis, Jack Oakley, John Bailey, John H. Mayer III, John Timmis, Kevin Mayerson, Louis Hopkin, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Martin Croft, Matthew Ellis, Matthew Gruby, Neil E. Roberts, Paul Stevenson, Paul Seeger-Smith, Philippe Calvet, Rod James, Scott Callahan, and the Limousine Line in Sydney. There are 270 previous episodes of this podcast, some of them interviews, some of them news episodes. You can get them all for free. And the places that you get your podcasts from, check out the blog at evnewsdaily.com. And you can find me on my socials by searching EV News Daily, and you'll find me, hopefully, at the top of those search results. Do have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.